Now, the expression in Christ, there is vast amount of time relevant and everlasting truth and enlightenment for everyone in that expression. I said time relevant. And by that I mean their truth in that expression that is important to you and me while we are now alive. And their truth in that expression that has implication for you and me at the other side of life. But it is what the Almighty God is saying in the expression that ought to be enlightening and grabbing our attention. If I ask you, what is 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17? Saying, or what does it mean? If I should ask you as an individual, could the passage be read? 2 Corinthians 5, 17.
Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature.
That's right. What? It's a statement being made. It's not a question being asked. It's a statement being made. But if I should ask you, what does it say? What does it mean? How do you understand it? You see, part of the understanding of Paul's statement about if any man be in Christ,
he is a new creation.
That's what the word creature means. Part of the answer to that statement by Paul is found in Acts of the Apostles, chapter 22 and verse 16. And after that is read, we will also go to Colossians chapter 2 and verse 10 through 12. Let us hear Acts 22, 16. And that is responding to the question I posed from Paul's statement. If any man, you see, Paul was stating a fact, stating something that is, if a man or a woman is in Christ, he is a new creature. Watch here. There's no way any man or woman can stand as a new person in God's sight if you're not in Christ. But wait, let me add to it. You're adding to God's word, Brother Mitchell? Not really, I'm just making sure that you understand. It's not only that every man and every woman to stand new in God's sight, and that means to stand cleansed, justified, you must be in Christ. The passage says, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. You see, God cannot accept you into that spiritual identity unless you are cleansed from sin. That takes place in Jesus Christ. That's how comes we stand new in God's sight. Brother Mitchell, tell me more. As you are now, if you're here and if you're not a child of God, first, I remind you that God loves you. That's right. He cares for you. That's right. In fact, so much so that the Bible tells us that he sent the rain that you may benefit from the blessing that comes from it. But do you know what? All the sin you have committed from God began to hold you responsible for your sin. All those sins are still held against you up to this very moment. A lot of time we don't think of it like that, but that's a fact. Wait. At what age, Brother Mitchell? Well, I'm not sure of the exact age. But from the Almighty God, consider you responsible to no wrong from right. He start holding you responsible for your sin. And if you have never taken the steps or meet the conditions set by Christ for your forgiveness, all those sins are still held against you. Are you 30 years old? Well, all those sins from whatever age, are you 40, 50, 60, 80, 90, whatever, all those sins, wait, sin is not abolished, so, because sin is offensive to God. It doesn't just go away, so. That's why God sent Jesus Christ. Wait, should I go further? Let me go a little further. All the blood of the cows and sheep that were shed under the Old Testament system was to bring to the attention of the Israelite that sin is real, it is offensive to God, and that it doesn't just go so. So your sin is still held against you by God unless you have taken step in Christ to address your sins. You deal with God like you and him slept together last night. Not if your sins have not been dealt with. Of all the danger that you face, none impose or expose you to more danger as sin. That's right. The man may hold the gun at your ears and tell you that within seconds he's going to shoot you dead. That doesn't pose as much danger to you a sin. So you need forgiveness. Remember where we are at. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. And then I ask you the question, what is that passage saying to you? Then I tell you that we'll go to the passage of Acts of the Apostle 22 verse 16. Let us hear that now. Then to the passage of Colossians chapter 2 and verse 10 to 12. Let us hear the passage in Acts 22 verse 16.
And now. Why tarriest thou?
Wait. Do you know in effect in this lesson, on behalf of Jesus Christ, I am posing that same question to you. But there's more to it because the brother has not completed the question. Now, this is a question asked by whom, Brother Mitchell? By a preacher. To whom was the question addressed, Brother Mitchell? By a sinner, a prospective convert. He was not yet a Christian, but he had enough truth to become a Christian. So the preacher asked him, what, brother?
And now, why tarriest thou?
Why wait? Wait. Every sinner within the hearing of my voice, that question is being posed to you by the Almighty God. Why tarry? Why wait? Read on.
Arise.
This is what you are to do other than waiting. Get up.
And be baptized.
Get baptized.
And wash away thy sins.
And wash away your sins. That's God's answer. Remember, we get to this passage by the question or by the statement made in the book of 2 Corinthians 5:17. If any man be in Jesus Christ. And remember, the whole lesson today will surround that expression, in Christ. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. That's how come you're going to stand cleansed, right, justified. A child of God in God's sight. Now we are not even how you look in the eyes of your neighbor, your friend, your husband, our wife, our children, our parents. That's not what we are addressing here. We are addressing how you look in God's sight. And until you get up and get baptized, you are in terrible danger because of sin. Arise and be baptized. Colossians. You know, Colossians, another book, is going to be on the same point of dealing with your sin. Read, brother, chapter 2. I believe I told you from verse 10 to verse 13. Give me just verse from 10 to 12. Let us hear it.
And ye are complete in him,
uh-huh,
which is the head of all principality.
And you are what? Complete. In him. That is in whom? In Jesus Christ. You know, it is important to remember, I spoke about the equivalent of in Christ. And he has just read one. You are complete in him. That's right. Read on, brother.
Which is the head of all principality and power.
Jesus Christ is the head of all the angelic force. Christ is above all of them. Read on.
In whom also?
In whom? You hear again. In whom? In him. In Christ. You notice. You see, this business of in Christ, it carries so much. In whom also?
Ye are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands.
Wait. Circumcision referring to the removal of the foreskin of a male's organ. But the business of circumcise here is the emphasis is not a male circumcision. The emphasis in the word here is that wait. Something is removed when you come to Christ. And that thing is sin. That's what is removed. Read up.
In putting off the body of the sins of the flesh.
Putting off of the body of the sin. That is, the old man of sin is dealt with. But watch here now, he's going down to the other verse that will spell it out. Read on.
buried with him.
He's telling you how this is done. Are we all there? I most would ask you again, brother, but don't follow me, to read from verse 10 again, but don't follow me, please. Yes, what that verse is saying?
Buried with him.
Buried with him.
In baptism.
Wait, you notice the identity with Christ? Because that's going to come up some more. Buried with him, that is with Christ. Notice the business of with, because that plays a very important part in God's planning our salvation. Did I say to you that sin cannot be dealt with just so? Wait. There are many men and women, simply because you don't acquaint yourself with God's word as much as you. Many men and women believe that they can just kneel down and pray and all their sin gone. They never do what Jesus Christ asks them to do. Wait, did you know that Jesus Christ has in here specific steps that you and I must take to have our sins forgiven? Specific. Yes. You are verse what, brother?
Verse 12.
Read verse 12 again.
Buried with him.
Buried. Wait. Chad, you notice it didn't say sprinkle with him? You notice it didn't say pouring with him? You see, Chad, as you know, the passages talk about baptism. In fact, I think it says it. Let me hear that statement again.
Buried with him in baptism.
Now, you know, I thank God that he has made his word so plain and simple that there is no way you and I can miss it if we are looking for the truth. Buried, because what he stated in verse 11 is something that was done to our sins. Or it make plain that we have a need for something to be done. In verse 12 that the brother is reading, it is telling us what is done with our sin by the Almighty God. Brother, I want to hear verse 12 again.
Buried with him in baptism, wherein also ye are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God, who hath raised him from the dead.
May I? What will be coming up in a few minutes in the lesson is the fact that righteousness is not transferable. That's very important that we understand that. And this business about being identity, forming an identity with Christ. Brother Mitchell, say that another way. Becoming one with Christ. It is part of it when God planned man's salvation, is because you cannot take one person's righteousness and give it to another person. That's the whole crux of the matter. So the Almighty God had to come up with something that satisfy his holiness and at the same time meet man spiritual need, because God loves man so much. Buried with him in baptism. Don't underestimate the word with, because it is emphasizing the oneness, the solidarity that is created between, by God, between you and Jesus Christ. Wait, that's the only way Jesus' righteousness could become yours. God cannot just take Christ's righteousness and throw it over on your sinful self and say, Carl Mitchell, you are automatically righteous. No. He had to come up with something to create a solidarity. Can I go on? So why are the reason in Christ is so loaded, that expression? It is based on the fact that Christ, absolute righteousness, cannot be separated from Christ. Brother Mitchell, you need to say that again, because then probably I've misunderstood the Bible all these years. No. Well, listen then. Jesus Christ is 100% pure in every sense of the word purity. Jesus Christ stands with his Father, with the Holy Spirit, as perfectly sinless. Never commit anything that is contrary to the nature, to the purpose, or to the will of the Almighty God. But that absolute righteousness of Jesus Christ cannot be separated from Christ or be conferred or imputed to others, because true righteousness is not transferable. I repeat, true, genuine righteousness is not transferable. You can't transfer it. May I? Many of you are parents. I'm a parent. If I were sinless, I'm not. But if I were, it doesn't matter how sinless I am, that could not make my children sinless. Because righteousness is not transferable. And this is why the Almighty God, in his everlasting plan, come up with the idea of identity. Let me identity. The idea of identity. This is very important. And we are going to go to a passage that many of you well know. But let me repeat it again, that holiness, righteousness is not transferable. You cannot take one person's righteousness and holiness and give to another person. But you see, in our mind, that's in effect what God has done with us on Christ. That is, with the Christian on Christ. But not really. So, the Almighty God had to, in His wisdom, in His grace and mercy, God had to come up with the provision of forming what you could call a corporate in Christ. It is create condition that we must meet that make you and I, those of us who have become Christian, form a oneness with Jesus Christ in a spiritual or a symbolic way. That oneness in Christ is open to all men and women who will respond to the love of God willingly. Note the process. And in this passage of Romans chapter 6, 3 through 5, Galatians chapter 3, verse 26 through 27, we're going to see the process of identifying with Christ. Let us turn to the passage of Romans chapter 6, verse 3 through verse 5.
Know ye not?
Don't you know
that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into His death?
Brother, take time with me now. Let me write it so that it's the process of identity that is being dealt with here. Know ye not that so many of us as were
baptized into Jesus Christ.
Chad, eh? Baptized in or into Jesus Christ? But Chad, what is happening here? The Holy Spirit in Paul is showing the process whereby you and I becomes identify with Christ, become one with Christ. That's right. That's the only way we can benefit from the righteousness that is in Christ, because holiness and righteousness is not transferable. It cannot just take from me and throw on you. The Almighty God worked out a way that was in keeping with His holiness and His wisdom, so that what is Christ can become yours and mine. But that is true identity. Were you at verse Romans chapter 6, verse 3?
Yes.
That's where you are?
Verse 3.
Don't you know
that so many
of us as
were baptized?
Here again, baptism has come up. Well, I encourage you to love baptism, because of what God accomplished in baptism for your eternal salvation. And I encourage you, if you sit in this audience listening to this message, knowing you are not a child of God, or even if you had joined a church some time ago, you did not get the right teaching, when the time comes for the invitation song to be sung, the Almighty God in Christ is appealing to you to get wise and sensible. You were at verse 3. Step on to verse 1. No, verse 3. Knowing not that so many of us as were baptized, we are brother into or in Christ.
We're baptized into his death.
Wait. Woo! Watch it. You watching? First, you have to identify yourself. You know, God is what? You have to identify with Christ by identifying with his death. But Brother Mitchell, me no one die now. Neither am I. Well, Brother Mitchell, how do I identify with Christ's death? This is not talking about dying physically. It's dying to sin. We're sinful living and thinking and talking will not be the controlling influence in your life anymore once you give your life to Christ. Verse 4 again.
Therefore, we are buried with him.
Wait. Start verse 4 again.
Therefore, we are buried with him.
Now, I want you to pick up at the death, brother. Was it still in verse 3?
Yes. As we're baptized into Jesus Christ, we're baptized into his death.
When you are baptized, you are becoming one. You are forming an identity with Jesus Christ in his death. Read on.
Therefore, we are buried with him.
And the baptism that is under consideration here, in fact, the only baptism of this sort that the New Testament knows, it ought to be a burial. That's right. Wait, Brother Mitchell. The baptism in the Holy Spirit is not a burial. It is. That's right. Baptism in the Holy Spirit means the person was overwhelmed by the Holy Spirit, the apostle. If you want to question that, you can come back at a one-night service and yes. You identify with Christ in his death. You are what, brother?
We are buried with him.
You are buried. Was Christ buried, Chad?
Yes.
Yes. You are buried with him by baptism. Read on.
Into death. That like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so, we also should walk in newness of life.
Verse 5, For
if we have been planted together.
Wait. If we have been planted
together.
Everybody noticing the identity in this passage, it is pointing out that we must become one with Jesus Christ. There must be an identity form. That means you and Jesus Christ become one in a spiritual way, in a symbolic way. Wait. Come, become one. To wear what is Christ become yours. And what God is interested here in is that Christ's righteousness become your righteousness. Because you and I do not have any righteousness. In fact, we are sinful. And that sin will take us into eternal hell. But God loves you and cares for you. And God, in his wisdom and love, when he planned man's salvation, planned it that identity, that oneness must be formed between the penitent convert and Christ, so that what did Jesus Christ do to redeem us?
As Christ was
Jesus
raised up.
Jesus Christ died, am I right? He was buried, am I right? He was resurrected. Wait. These are what we call the facts of the gospel. The facts of the gospel. Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection. You notice how the passage of Romans chapter 6, verse 3 following, is taking us through the process. The step-by-step process of sinners who want God's forgiveness to form an identity with Jesus Christ. You finish verse 5. Well, if you finish verse 5,
for if we have been planted together in the likeness...
Did it say if, brother?
If we have
wait,
been...
Wait. You notice what it is saying, you? The blessing that he has just mentioned, that raised with Christ, walk in newness of life, ultimately eternal life. In fact, even before the eternal life comes in, while you go through life, have the Almighty God through Christ as your companion, as your guide, as your shepherd. All of these blessings are conditional upon you forming that identity with whom? With Jesus Christ. Look at another passage. We are coming down to the end of this lesson, but I don't want to come back to it. Look at Galatians chapter 3, 26 through 27. Let us hear it, brother. Let us hear it.
For ye are all the children of God.
Wait. Watch here now. Look here now. Look here now. Paul again. This time he's not writing to the Christian at Rome, he's writing to the Christian at God. For you are all the children of God.
By faith in Christ Jesus.
Where?
By faith
in
Christ Jesus.
Everybody, you are all the children of God.
By faith.
It was true faith, but it was we're in Christ Jesus. You see, that business of in Christ always coming up, because there's no way you can be a true Christian if you do not get in Christ. The passage that we are now going to tell you how you get there. For we are all the children of God. By faith
in Christ Jesus.
Wait. But somebody said, you see, Mr. Mitchell, I believe. So I'm a child of God by believing, by having faith. No, you're incorrect, because it didn't stop. Notice, for you're all the children of God by faith. It didn't stop there, sir. You notice? It adds something in Christ
Jesus.
Jesus. It's not just by faith. It has to be in Christ Jesus. Are we all there? You see what I see? Now let me ask Paul a favor. Tell me, Paul, how I get into Christ Jesus. Let me hear.
For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ.
You notice how you put on Christ? You have to be baptized in Christ. Now, I have a little information, important information. And you know what? I keep telling the people here that I'm very kind. So I'm not going to charge you for it. There is one way you can get into Christ Jesus. Wait. You do not get into Jesus Christ by faith. You do not get into Christ by confessing your sin. That's right. You do not get into Christ by praying. The one way God stipulate for men and women to get into Christ, thereby forming that identity.
For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ.
That's how you get into Christ. The only way. In fact, I throw this out. If there are visitors here and you want to put us to the test, challenge us on that. I'm here saying there is no other way to get into Christ. You see, this business of in Christ. In the beginning of the list, I list some 10 to 12 passages of the 169 whatever passage, that statement is used, or that phrase. What we are saying here now is that there is no way you can get into Christ without baptism. Faith does not put you into Christ. When you repent, you are still not in Christ. The Almighty God says, for as many of you that have been
baptized into Christ,
have
put on Christ.
That's how you put on Christ. That's how the identity or the solidarity or the oneness with Christ is formed. In baptism, and baptism with all the other conditions that accompanies it. You cannot pray your sins away unless you are a child of God who has backslidden. That person who had become a Christian the Bible's way and backslide or grow unfaithful, that person can go to God in prayer, because that person has already been born in Christ through baptism. But if you have not received the correct teaching, even though you might be going to a church for umpteen years and the teaching you get is not in keeping with God's word, then all the things you do religiously will be in vain. When you get home, you can read Matthew, chapter 15 and verse 9. In vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandment of men. You see, when you do anything and it is contrary to God's word, you do it in vain. So as we close, let me close with Colossians 1:28. In fact, brother, skip Colossians 1:28. Turn to 1 John 5:11.
And this is the record, that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son.
This life is in the Son. So you need to get in the Son. This life is in Jesus Christ. You have to get in Christ. You have to form an identity with Christ. That's why this business of in Christ is used this 100-odd times in Paul's writing. In Christ. No other phrase or statement is used so many times by this or probably any other inspired writer of the New Testament. Because that in Christ is so meaningful. It has so much to tell us about our salvation and God's plan. Today you can become a Christian. You can get in Jesus Christ by hearing his word. You have heard his word this morning. By repenting of your sin, that is turning from sin to righteousness, from self to Jesus Christ, from the sinful and godly ways of the world to the righteous ways of Christ, you can repent today. Having repented, are you a Christian? No. You must confess Christ's name and you must be baptized. You must be baptized to get in Christ, to complete that solidarity with Christ. Christ calls you now. You can respond because Christ is ready to forgive you, to make you a part of himself. Wait. Did you know that's why the church is called the body of Christ? I didn't even get to fix that up, you know. Christ being the head. The church is Christ's body. Well, in fact, if you have questions on this lesson today, come back tonight at 6 for our night service. But you know what? If you want to become a Christian now, you do not have to wait until tonight. Why? Christ is ready right now to see to it and to encourage you to form that identity with him.